The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Our next topic has to do with the cancel culture here in America and the possibility of a cancel culture episode having to do with a Texas nonprofit, a Christian nonprofit by the name of Christians Engaged. And that's because we learned about a filing that they did all the way back in 2019, if my memory serves me correct, in the fall. And just now we have learned here in, what, July 21, that the IRS has denied their application to be certified as a 501c3 charity. And some of the headlines that are around the country is because there was some, in the rejection letter, there was some quotes by an IRS administrator talking about the fact that they would disallow it because the Bible teachings are affiliated with Republican beliefs. To talk about this today is First Liberty Institute, very much involved with this particular situation. Leah Patterson is with us, and she is she's been with First Liberty. She worked in the St. Louis area in Missouri as a law clerk, very much involved with since her law degree from the University of Virginia Law back in 16. And she was an executive editor for the Virginia Law Review. And other important duties at that time in her life. She got her bachelor's degree in political science from Texas Christian, 2013. Knows a little bit about Texas, graduating summa cum laude. And she lives in North Texas and a member of the Texas State Bar. And Leah Patterson, good to have you with us this afternoon.
A pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
All right, I want to dive into this. I'm going to let you explain a little bit about this case because certainly it got my attention, and I've even editorialized about it. But so we got a nonprofit that decided they wanted to do some work educating Christians, and they made their application. So take it from there and tell us the story.
All right. Well, our client is Christians Engaged, which is a Christian nonprofit organization that exists to educate and empower everyday Christians to pray for our nation and elected officials, vote in every election, and be civically engaged. It applied for tax-exempt status back in 2019, and just last month, the IRS denied that application, arguing that primarily that it was political campaign intervention to, quote, educate believers on national issues central to their belief in the Bible as the inerrant word of God. That IRS letter, which you can read at our website, firstliberty.org, goes on to explain, quote, Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. So that's what the IRS did, and that's what we appealed 2 days ago on Wednesday. Basically, our argument is that the IRS violated its own regulations as well as constitutional protections for free speech and free religious exercise by making this decision.
Now, I'm a president of a 501c4 and know a lot of folks around me that have 501c3s. And most of the time, and of course we had COVID, it's usually a 6-month sort of turnaround time in which when you file for it, if it's still the law, you can go ahead and operate as tax exempt until you get that decision. But I've never really heard of not only a denial with such a comprehensive explanation. So let me start there. Is this type of explanation, though we would totally disagree with it, is this something that usually comes with a denial letter?
Well, usually the IRS does explain the reasons for denying tax-exempt status, but I can tell you that the particular reasoning that they used here is rather unusual.
So let me ask this, and I had someone who's very much a friend of the program, and apparently there's something out there now, and I just learned this like 10 minutes ago, and I want to get into the to the facts here, but I was just given a note that possibly there was a piece of literature that the Christians Engage had as part of promoting their ministry that said something about lining up the Republican Party or something like that. Is that true or not true, or do you know anything about that?
No, that's not correct. Christians Engaged is a nonpartisan organization that engages people in civic activities. They teach people how to get involved civically and encourages them to pray for our nation and elected officials. So one of the key takeaways is that 501c3s are allowed to have positions on public policy issues, that political parties may also have positions of their own. So 501c3s don't have to be neutral on public policy issues. They just can't engage in political campaigning, such as endorsing a candidate.
Yeah, and as president of the Florida Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, because we engaged in policy issues in Tallahassee, that's why we are a 501c4, which allows going to even endorsing in campaigns, but certainly makes it clear that we're very much involved in the political process. Now, a 501c3, and of course I've been preaching this and saying this for years and years and years, as long as you're talking about an issue, if you're talking about abortion, if you're talking about gender rights, talking about this, that, and the other, and if you're educating folks about like House Bill 305, which is the making that up in the Florida House, that tells us that as soon as an unborn baby can feel pain, this bill says this, and we're opposed to this bill. All of that is fair game. So it seems to me that my first reaction was, Leah Patterson, that this seemed like a very partisan, maybe bureaucrat or employee, by just jumping to the conclusion that they're going to deny someone because these issues happen to be some of the same issues of the Republican Party. Is that how you read it?
Well, I certainly couldn't speak to the particular motivation of the letter's author, but one of our arguments is that it's inappropriate for a government official to be determining what somebody's religious beliefs mean, and it's certainly not appropriate to exclude Christians Engaged from tax-exempt status because of its biblical teachings.
And one of the things that came out of the quote, this individual, Stephen A. Martin, by the way, is the IRS Exempted Organizations Director. He also wrote, quote, this idea that you educate Christians in the areas of sanctity of life, definition of marriage, biblical justice, freedom of speech, defense, borders and immigration, U.S. and Israeli relations. I'm just reading that, and I'm saying, why, anybody in their right mind working in this area, I'm just surprised that an official put this in a rejection letter, because it so strongly goes to your point, and it's so obvious. I ask the question, does this borderline on harassment?
Well, we can tell you that we certainly don't think it's an appropriate decision, and that's why we're working through the appeals process. And hopefully we'll be able to get it reversed and end up at a good outcome.
Now, what is the reversal process? In other words, does this get first sent up the ladder with a higher official at the IRS or maybe at the Treasury? What steps does this take? Do you take if the agency doesn't correct it and it starts going through a court case or appellate process?
So the first step right now is to file an appeal letter with the IRS itself. So we have done that, and we'll be working through that process for the next few months, I expect. And then depending on how that process works out, the next step would be federal court if necessary.
Now, am I correct that up until this point, that Christians Engage could go ahead and operate as a nonprofit while the application is in process. Is that true? And then B, now that they've got a rejection letter, do they lose those opportunities while it's being appealed? And I'm trying to get to the point of how this is now going to affect this nonprofit ministry.
Well, it certainly affects them pretty heavily. I can't speak to the specific implications at this particular moment as we're working through the process, but we're going to do our best to make sure that Christians Engaged receives a fair shake.
How often do you see this in terms of other cases? Is this one that just sort of stands out, or have you seen this before as you are consulting with your colleagues, both at, there at First Liberty Institute and the other excellent organizations that are in this area defending Christian rights? Should our audience kind of look at this as a one-off, or do you think this could be a potential troubling trend in the future?
Well, I can say that if the IRS thinks that biblical teachings are Republican-affiliated, then that could endanger the tax-exempt status of many religious organizations, including churches. So while I hope it's not part of a broader trend, I have no reason to think it's not.
Mm. Is this one of the areas, and again, this is probably just hitting you off the cuff, and if you don't want to comment, I understand. There was a tremendous victory in the area of a Catholic foster care agency in Philadelphia that the high court, in the final analysis, 9-0, left, right, up, down, whatever, said that our First Amendment religious liberty rights are still very much valid in this country. A lot has been said the last 24 hours that this case could have an implication on other cases. Is there any way that reinstatement of the high court about the freedoms there, would that possibly have any sway here with the type of issue you're dealing with this rejection?
Well, I can tell you that a unanimous Supreme Court decision upholding religious liberty is going to resonate in all areas of religious liberty law, as well as this one.
Mm. And last but not least, tell us a little bit about your work there at First Liberty Institute, and maybe if there's another case or two that our audience can pray about, tell us a little bit about where First Liberty is today.
Well, I can tell you that First Liberty Institute is a national nonprofit law firm that only is devoted to religious liberty law, and a couple of the cases we have pending right now, we have our Coach Kennedy case, which is a football coach fired for praying after a football game.
Yes.
So we've been fighting that one for many years, and we'll continue
yes, you
to.
Have. Mm. Well, I tell you what, I want to thank you for taking the moment out to be with us, and I know that I lead a number of folks in this area that are just a little bit outraged about this. So, unfortunately, it's not going to be a week or two sort of a process. This could be really drawn out, but we'll keep our eye on it, and I'll be continuing to ask my audience to just continue to keep not only yourself, Leah Patterson, but First Liberty Institute in our prayers. And again, thank you for your service to those of us, not only in the Christian faith, but other faiths, to be able to have the religious freedom and the liberty to live our lives in America. And thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
And God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.